On today's episode of Chai Talks, we're going to just talk about draft legal racing. We had our first draft legal race in 3 years in Alberta, just this last weekend in Drayton Valley. Now, bear with me as we want to take a quick minute to explain what draft legal racing is for our listeners and what it means for our athletes in Alberta before we get into the race recap. Draft legal racing is essentially bringing the sport of road racing for cycling into the triathlon sphere, which means that the athletes are able to ride really closely together as a group, creating a drafting effect. This drafting effect will allow them to cover distances much quicker than if they were riding on their own. For the youth and junior athletes, we create a curriculum that will allow them to acquire the skills necessary before they participate in a race such as this. And we held a couple of those courses in the week leading up to the Drayton Valley event. For the youth and junior athletes, this type of racing is really important because draft legal racing is what they'll encounter at the higher levels of the sport, such as Camtri, Patco, WTS, and eventually at the Olympic level. The idea is for the youth and juniors to acquire the technical skills at a younger age, and in Alberta, the youth are about 14 to 15 years of age. So by the time that they're racing at a higher level in a few years' time, the draft legal racing will be second nature to them. For the Drayton Valley race itself, Alexander will be taking us through a bit of a recap as to how the athletes performed.
This past weekend, the 2022 season officially kicked off with the Drayton Valley Triathlon and the first draft legal race in several years due to the COVID-19 outbreak. There is a lot on the line this year as well, with athletes trying to qualify for the Canada Summer Games taking place this August. While Drayton Valley was not a qualifying race, it did give a chance for the Canada Summer Games coaches to take a look at those who are wanting a spot on the team, and for the athletes to shake off some rust after 2 years of no races.
We're pretty excited to get to see some of the athletes that are going to be trying to qualify for Canada Summer Games at this event. We didn't have all of them in attendance, as some of them are away at school still. But the ones that were there, we saw some really good showings. And I think one of the exciting things is now that the race season starts, maybe some of those athletes that we weren't expecting to perform well are performing well. And maybe some of those others that we were expecting to perform better aren't. So it's kind of exciting as we get closer to the qualification races.
Hayden Woodrow, a Calgarian who is currently attending and swimming for Dalhousie University out east, took first place coming in just under 30 minutes, followed by Edmonton's Max Davidow and Spruce Grove's Finn Crow completing the podium a couple minutes later. Hayden had this to say about the race today.
You know, it was pretty good. I wasn't expecting the hills, and I just got into altitude, so the running part was a little difficult on the lungs, but that's okay. I'm hoping to get onto the Canada Games team, so that's definitely something in the future that I'm looking forward to.
In the women's race, 16-year-old Kaylin Anderson from Canmore took the top of the podium, crossing the line in just under 35 minutes, followed by Calgary's Amaya Irvin Arambari and Peyton Sheehan shortly after to finish up the podium. Peyton led the field in the swim, but Kaylin quickly caught up on the bike and run to take the gold. As for the up-and-coming Albertan talent, 15-year-old Jet Fenton from Spruce Grove crossed the finish line third overall in the race, but first in the male youth category, after a great race. Jet, who has been racing since he was five, had this to say about the race today.
What's your name?
Jet Fenton.
Okay, and what age category were you in?
I was in the 14 to 15.
Perfect, and what was your result?
Got first.
Awesome. And so this is your first race of the year. How did it feel?
It was good. It was hard, a bit windy, but it felt good. It was good. It was a challenging course, and I liked it. It was very well run, very clear.
All right.
Well, the Cup Series this year, so I'm trying to win that, and then just build up to an Ironman.
And 15-year-old Calgarian Sunny Leishman was second across the finish line, but took the gold for the youth category after a great run to finish off her race.
Good. It's a warm-up race, so just testing.
Some of the Summer Game hopefuls are headed to North Vancouver next to challenge the North Shore Triathlon, but the important races this season coming up next for the juniors are the Lethbridge Kids of Steel on June 12th and the Calgary KOS the following weekend on June 19th, where team spots for the games will be up for grabs. The Canada Summer Games take place in the Niagara region of Ontario from August 6th to August 21st. Congratulations to all the athletes that participated, and thank you to Sharon Oakey, the race director, and her team for putting on the race, as well as the excellent team of officials that came to the race. Some of our Summer Games hopefuls are heading to North Vancouver next to challenge the North Shore Triathlon. But the important races this season coming up next for the juniors are the Lethbridge Kids of Steel on June 12th and the Calgary KOS the following weekend on June 19th, where team spots for the games will be up for grabs. The Canada Summer Games takes place in the Niagara region of Ontario from August 6th to August 21st. Congratulations to all the athletes that participated, and thank you to the race director Sharon Oakey and her team for putting on the race, as well as the Triathlon Alberta officials who kept the race safe.
Me today is Joel Morissette, who is none other than the incoming CEO of Triathlon Canada. Joel is coming to us from the sport of triathlon from Badminton Canada, where he's a CEO for 8 years. Joel, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Sebastian, for having me on. It's really appreciated. Looking forward to meeting the community. So I was born in Ottawa. I grew up in a small town in Quebec, and I've lived in Halifax. I'm married with one child who's a preteen and been misbehaving a little bit lately, but that's okay. So I've had to do some interesting parenting stuff over the last couple of days. I've worked in sport for 20 years. In various roles. I worked for youth sport for many years. Did a Canada Games in Halifax, and spent the last 8+ years working with Badminton Canada as their executive director. I've never done a triathlon.
Okay.
It's going to be on my list of things to do. Maybe not this summer, but I got to get some training in, our HP team is already building me a plan.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, we've got a few in Alberta that we can always throw your way, you know,
I look forward to it.
So let's go to just a little bit of trivia here for our viewers and our listeners to get to know you a little bit. If you had one word to kind of describe yourself, what would that be?
Yeah, I think the word I would use is urgent. I have a sense of urgency behind me. I like to get in there and get things done, and I'm looking forward to make some positive changes and make an impact quickly within the sport.
Right on, right on. And what kind of book would you kind of have on your nightstand, and why?
Yeah, the book I'm reading right now is a book called Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir. He's the author who wrote The Martian, the movie with Matt Damon stranded on. It's his latest book, and it's about environmental issues, and he's a bit of a science geek. Mm-hmm. So it's got some really cool science stuff in there, and it sort of lets me focus on something else when I'm trying to get to sleep, other than work and family and things like that. It's a good distraction.
Right on. Yeah,
great book. I recommend it to anybody.
I think I actually have that one in my Save for Later carts on Chapters
there. Oh, it's a good one.
If you had to order a coffee right now, what would it be?
Yeah, well, it's getting late, so I don't want to be up too late tonight with caffeine. And I'm not a big coffee drinker. So I would say it'd probably be something with lots of milk and sweeteners. So it's sort of like melted ice cream, so very sweet.
Okay.
Really not a black coffee drinker.
Almost like an iced
coffee. You know what? It depends. Now, I hear the triathlon starts very early in the morning, and then you got to be out at the races quite early. So, you know, this could be a change. I might need that caffeine this summer.
Right on. So kind of switching gears a little bit again, what are you kind of most proud of achieving with Badminton Canada?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. There's a lot. I think the one thing I'm really pleased with, a couple things, is the success our athletes have had. Mm-hmm. We qualified the largest team in Badminton Canada's history to the Olympic Games. So we've been in the game since 92. Mm-hmm. With eight athletes qualifying in every event. We were only one of eight countries to do that in mm-hmm. the world, to qualify athletes in all the events. And then this was also the first Olympic Games where we've got... we had para badminton in the Paralympics. So it was first Paralympic Games with para. And we qualified one of only three athletes from the entire Pan-American continent. So Canada all the way down to Argentina from Canada. And she had a wonderful thing, and really proud of how those athletes have performed and grown up. In 8 years, I've seen some of them grow, start, you know, as young as 12 years old, and now are Olympians. It was an amazing experience. And so really proud of them and the system we've built in Canada. So when I started, it was a very small national team. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to expand and diversify. And so right now we've got, on the able-bodied side, 4 national teams and a para-national team. So senior, next-gen, junior development on the able-bodied side and the para. So that ability to really expand that HP program has been, I mean, something really proud of, and see that work translate to athletes being successful and meeting their Olympic dreams and Paralympic dreams has been, you know, just a really wonderful experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like, just like in some of the initial discussions that you've had with executive directors across the country in triathlon, have you kind of noticed some recurring themes as we're kind of coming back to the sport?
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting. So I only really start in mid-May, but I've actually so far met with, you know, lots of different stakeholders. An event to date with 7 of our provincial sports organizations. I've met with most of our staff. Mm-hmm. I met with our national team, board of directors, just a whole bunch of great volunteers as well in different areas. And I mean, I think one thing I noticed, the passion that everybody brings to the sport, like it's you know, they love it. And I mean, everybody who's competing at a high level in more sport love it. And I think, you know, the one comment I'd make about this is, you know, I think, you know, those relationships between the provinces and the clubs and the clubs and the provinces and the national organization, there's something that's going to be a real priority for me to grow and strengthen and further develop. They're very strong now, but, you know, it's always good to be working shoulder to shoulder on everything. Mm-hmm. A lot of concern around 2025 Canada Games, and we're starting building a strategy around how to get us back into that, back into the sport calendar for those games or for future games. So, you know, wanting to take those comments and those priorities of our PSOs and make sure they're my priorities as well is a top of list item for me. And just to learn. I mean, everybody's wanting to share and support, and are willing to give me and the one thing I keep asking for is a little bit of leeway as I learn and get up to speed. And everybody so far has been very understanding and willing to jump in and help. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to it. Great community so far.
Thank you so much, Joe, for kind of joining us on Chai Talks today. And I mean, good luck with your new role. And I really hope we get to meet in person sometime over the summer.
Oh, absolutely. I'm planning to be in Alberta at one point. We'll just have to, you and I, sit down to figure out what's the best time. Mm-hmm. Because I want to be an accessible CEO to our members, our athletes of all age groups, of all qualities. It's my door is always open. So I look forward to getting into the community and understanding their needs and immersing myself in the sport culture. So thank you for the opportunity today. I really do appreciate
thank it. You. And with me today is Peter McCrory, who is none other than the president of Triathlon Canada. Now, I know previously we chatted with the incoming CEO of Triathlon Canada, but Peter is the president of Triathlon Canada and a little bit of a volunteer extraordinaire. Peter, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of what got you like interested in the sport of triathlon and the volunteering aspects?
Yeah, certainly. Firstly, thanks, Sebastian, for inviting me onto the podcast. Delighted to be here. You know, to answer your question, I started, you know, as an age grouper in triathlon at the age of 16. You know, yes, we did wear Speedos back then. you know, I confess to say, and there are no pictures, I hope. You know, I just fell in love with the sport. It's a great sport to be a part of. It was a very young sport back then, and you know, arguably still is a relatively young sport today. And you know, I dabbled with triathlon as an age grouper throughout my adult life, and stayed connected to it. I came and went and came and went, and I've raced and stopped racing and raced again. So, you know, I just love the sport, love the community. It's a great bunch of people. You can really geek out on technology if you really wish to. You know, almost to use the same term, you can geek out on anything else, from nutrition to psychology to physiology, on all those things. So, you know, I just had a natural curiosity for that. And in my earlier days, when I was maybe a little bit more competitive, I enjoyed the racing too, even as an age grouper. So, you know, I think at this stage of life, it's a really good opportunity to give back to the sport and to help, you know, where I can, even as a volunteer, to progress the sport in many ways. And in this current role, it's at a governance level and at the national level, which is it's a privilege and an honor.
Mm-hmm. So let's switch gears just a little bit away from triathlon. If you could use a kind of one word to describe yourself, what would that be?
I would say tenacious. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to have a challenge. I like to go after things. And when I do have a challenge, you know, I like to, you know, do my best to achieve them and turn up in my, you know, and do the best that I possibly can to achieve it. So if it means, you know, either doing something myself as a triathlete or doing something as a team, like I do, you know, in the, you know, the board of director role, so be it. You know, it's all about, you know, having an outcome to strive towards, and, you know, and to not just check off for the sake of checking off, but, you know, to get there and to make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of, if you had a book on your nightstand, what would it be, and why?
Okay, two things, I think. So one is a playbook on how to deal with organizational challenges.
Okay.
Which sounds like it might just drive everybody to want to go fall asleep. And the reason I maybe choose that would be because I tend in my professional career, and I've had two professional careers, one in the military before coming to Canada and one after that. Mm-hmm. Certainly in my latter years, I've spent time and energy and effort in trying to change businesses, and move them from one place to another. So, but I don't know that I've ever found a book that's, you know, this, I guess I maybe pick and choose from different sources and in how to, but I don't know that there's necessarily a playbook on how to do that. So perhaps I should write the book myself. And who knows, maybe I'll be the only person to buy it. But so, you know, I think that would be one. In terms of fiction, I do love Second World War fiction. So okay. It would have to be it'd have to be a book like that. And one of the most recent ones I read was a book called All the Light I Cannot See. So about a blind girl in World War II and her story and her struggles. So, you know, I really resonated with that.
Yeah, we have that book as well. And by accident, we liked it so much, we bought it twice. but definitely really enjoyed that one as well. If you had to order a coffee right now, what would it be? I know you have a stressful role, and I'm sure coffee plays a bit of a role.
well, at least we don't get tested for sort of, you know, any performance enhancing substances. Coffee is probably one of the ones on the list. But if I had to choose a coffee at this time of day, it's what, 2 p.m. I would choose a double espresso with a little smidge of sugar.
Brown sugar. There you go. Yeah. Okay, so kind of back to the triathlon worlds. And I remember you were on the Triathlon Alberta board for a short while as well before kind of receiving that call up to the NSO. How did that go? And like, what were some of those differences between the two boards?
Yeah, great question. You know, I had an opportunity to serve on the Triathlon Alberta board for, I think it was just over a year. And then the call came out for board members across the provinces, and I quickly stuck my hand up. I think, you know, in terms of differences as a board member, there are certainly differences on the lots of similarities. You know, the similarities as a board member at a high level, you know, we have a fiduciary duty to look after, you know, the best interests of the organization. So what does that mean? It means protect and preserve the organization effectively. Mm-hmm. At a governance level. So that would be the similarities. And you know, from a sort of human resource perspective, we only look after one person, which is the chief exec or the executive director. So, you know, so there are many parallels. Mm-hmm. I think in terms of scope though, you know, at a provincial level, you know, the scope is focused predominantly on development, at least at the operational level. And the board, by virtue of its constitution and the number of resources, the number of people in the provinces, sometimes the board mandate is slightly different. So for example, at the provincial level, you know, you may find, you know, board members who are also officials. You may find, you know, board members who are, you know, or maybe doing some audit practices on the, or audit activities within the organization, but also helping out on a bookkeeping standpoint. So, mm-hmm. so sometimes board members get, you know, get called in depending on the demands to fulfill operational levels. At the national level, however, we are, or at least we strive to be predominantly governance led. So we try as best we possibly can not to mingle and you know, it's I think the phrase is noses in and fingers out when it comes to the operation. So you know, as our you know, the chief exec would often say to me, look, I think that's an op-, you know, politely say, that's an operational matter, I think maybe we can handle that, thank you very much, which basically means, Peter, keep your nose out of it. So I think the scope is much broader. There are, you know, there's, you know, at the national level, we are dealing with the provinces. Mm-hmm. We're also dealing with the, you know, we've got, our mandates are slightly different in that the mandate at the national level is on high performance from a delivery standpoint, but also for the direction of the sport generally. So, you know, how does development roll out strategically across the provinces? You know, how do the provinces work with the national body? What's the coaching development? What does that look like for at a national level, which then trickles down into the provinces for them to adopt, and the same for, you know, official education and technical official, and also on the, you know, the operationalization of competitions. Mm-hmm. So I think the scope is much broader. I think, you know, in my role as a president, you know, and the chair of the board, you know, I get lots of phone calls from, you know, for example, Laura in Alberta. So she would contact me and say, look, we've got this issue we're challenged with. What's the best way of dealing with it? Or how can we help you deal with an issue that you're dealing with? So I think, you know, at a high level, you know, to be successful either at the provincial level as a board and or at the national level, you know, part of it, you have to, you know, adhere to the bylaws and the rules and the regulations. But also you've got to be able to develop the relationships, because this sport at the amateur level and many sports at the amateur level, that's all about relationships. You know, if we don't get along with our race directors, guess what? We're not going to have a race series. If we don't get on with our coaches, we're not going to be able to develop our athletes as best we possibly could. So, and it's not just about pleasing people, it's about setting the environment up so that people can be as ultimately as successful as they can. So maybe I've waffled a little bit, but maybe there's, you know, there's some content you can take away between the similarities and differences between the national and the provincial level.
Absolutely. No, I really appreciate that. That was really great. And so, like, I know, like, the previous president kind of resigned last year, I think, if I remember correctly, like in the late winter, early spring. And at the time, I think you were a director at large, but then you were kind of thrown into becoming president, right, with the Olympics around the corner. How'd that go from like that governance perspective?
Yeah, great question. So I was director at large, I was also chair of the governance committee, and you know, as a volunteer on the NSO, the National Sports Organization, and on any other board for that matter. And those of the listeners, those of you who are listening that are on boards, you know, may sort of empathize that, you know, as soon as you volunteer for a board, you know, oftentimes a lot of stuff comes your way very quickly, and sometimes it's planned and sometimes it isn't planned. You know, I was the chair of the governance committee with Triathlon Canada at the time. And, you know, when Les stepped away, and Les did a tremendous amount of work for the organization, we naturally had to fill the chair role. I mean, we can't have a board without a board chair and a president. So I threw my hat in the ring, along with another couple of directors. We went through a process, and I guess, you know, some might say I was the lucky one. Some might say that I was the unlucky one in being the successful candidate. I think in all seriousness, you know, whoever was the successful one would have done a great job. You know, all three candidates, you know, we were all invested in helping Triathlon Canada be successful, helping the nation and ultimately the athletes. This is about the athletes at the end of the day, be really successful. And I was just the lucky one that the directors voted for at the time. I really do feel that, you know, this position is an honor and a privilege. Whilst it does consume quite a bit of time, I think service is in my blood. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, I had a military career before this, and service to my country, whatever country that is, and it wasn't to Canada, it was to the United Kingdom at the time. You know, that hasn't left me, and that stays with me. And I feel, you know, in my life that, you know, you reap the rewards by giving yourself in service to the country and others. And that's really how I show up. And I just try to do my best and serve the needs of our stakeholders and our members, which are, you know, yourself and the other provinces. And if we're successful, they'll be successful, and vice versa. And ultimately, that all, like I said earlier, that all boils down to athletes being successful, for us to have a race series in the country, to be able to develop athletes as best we possibly can, to provide opportunities for them. So, you know, if I can do that and leave a legacy behind that means that Canada, for the next board of directors and the next president, will carry on and be even more successful, then I think I will be able to walk away with a good conscience and think that I've done a good job. So.
Absolutely, yeah. Getting into a little bit of the weeds, like the last few months, like Triathlon Canada has had the interim CEO with Lucy. How's that kind of interim period from a board perspective?
Yeah, that's a great question. If any of the listeners are on boards, you know, we only have to look after one human resource, and that's the chief executive. If for any reason that particular person has to step away, it ultimately falls to the president to step into the role even on a temporary basis, to then to find either a temporary solution, as we did with Triathlon Canada and finding Lucy Smith as the interim, or for finding a more permanent resource. And Lucy, you know, really credit to her, like she did a tremendous job at very short notice in stepping in, and she knows the sport, she knows the people in the sport. She has a tremendous pedigree. She's got a wonderful manner about her, and in terms of her interpersonal style, and I think that served her and the organization and the sport really well, even in a relatively short period of time. And she was able to develop and nurture the relationships over the time whenever she was in the seat. At times, you know, between Lucy and I, we would often have a bit of a sort of a tag team affair where, you know, if there were some things that I had taken on that I would see to some sort of natural completion, and not necessarily burden her while she was trying to stabilize the operation and look after staff and make sure the athletes were looked after. So, you know, Lucy did a tremendous job, and delighted that she is, you know, staying with the organization, even though she's going to move back to, you know, a similar but slightly different role, hopefully. And I'm really pleased that she's had an opportunity to develop herself and to show us what she can do and add value to the organization. So, you know, it was, you know, I it would be remiss of me to say that, you know, whenever anybody leaves in an organization, there's often a little bit of turbulence. And, you know, whenever Kim stepped away, there was a little bit of turbulence, and we had to sort of stabilize things. And Lucy did, like I say, Lucy did a tremendous job. I was there to help and support her from a, maybe a, you know, in a professional capacity, from a, you know, in terms of picking up some staff roles and staff issues. But, you know, it was really a team effort, and, you know, and kudos, not just to Lucy, but to the other staff members who really did go the extra mile, you know, in a period of uncertainty, you know, just after the Olympics, which is a, you know, it's the milestone for any national organization. So, you know, the staff, you know, a small but mighty team that they are, they did a great job in that time.
Absolutely. And like, I understand, like, the just post Olympics too, there was a bit of a consultant brought in to do like a bit of a survey of some of the members, like PSOs, coaches, etc. What were some of the results of that survey, and what will we kind of see going forward from that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, maybe I'll take a step back and, you know, oftentimes after a quadrennial, any national sports organization, you know, opts to do a review. And you know, and sometimes it's an external review and sometimes it's internal. All NSOs, you know, do a review and report on the podium to, you know, secure funding for the next year, or the next quadrennial, or whatever that might be. So it's not uncommon for an organization to do such a review. We felt it was maybe time. It had been quite a while since Triathlon Canada had an independent review. And, you know, listening to our community, you know, at least anecdotally, I was acutely aware or made aware, you know, in coming into the president's role, that there's, you know, whilst we were doing fairly well, there's opportunities for improvement, like there is in any organization. So really the purpose of the review was to understand, you know, what's working well, and what really could be better. And the review did, you know, interview a broad spectrum of stakeholders, from athletes to parents to officials, race directors, you know, provincial members, members of staff. So it was a pretty broad review. Now, in terms of the findings, you know, we were predominantly focused on high performance,
yeah,
and understand, you know, what could be better coming out of that. And as a board and organization, we're still processing some of that. Although, you know, our new high performance director in Patrick Kelly has already, you know, looked at that review and the findings, and he's actually putting those into effect right now. So, you know, he's, you know, looking at slightly different ways of providing opportunities for athletes, you know, maybe being slightly less structured in terms of keeping the performance center on in Victoria, for example, as we have done traditionally for a while, and maybe, you know, being a little bit more flexible in our approach to how we provide opportunities for athletes. So Patrick is and Lucy, you know, to her credit too, you know, and Carolyn Murray, they all three of them together have really broadened, you know, their purview in terms of, you know, how to solve for that problem, and that's sort of ongoing. So there'll be a lot more work to do, for sure. I mean, we've been sitting on the results for a couple of months, so we can't expect a quick turnaround and overnight. But nevertheless, you know, that's maybe a snapshot of one of the things that we're looking at. Mm-hmm. The other things we're looking at, for example, are, you know, board governance. You know, from a governance perspective, where, you know, it was recommended to us that we may look at things like, you know, trying to find opportunities for unrestricted funding. You know,
right,
we know as a national body, our funding, which is predominantly coming from the you know, Sport Canada and public sources, whilst it's plentiful and we're very grateful for it, it does come with some constraints. And, you know, as an organization that's trying to be a little bit more agile, you know, one of the recommendations from the report was to, you know, to consider at a board level and at a, you know, at the CEO level, how does Triathlon Canada look for alternate funding streams, mm-hmm, such that it gives the organization a bit more agility,
yeah,
to provide opportunities for athletes, for coaches, for coach development and maybe some of our obligations, you know, at the World Triathlon level as well. So yeah. Hopefully that gives you a bit of a snapshot.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, definitely really appreciate it. I mean, like the unrestricted funding is certainly a really challenging piece to come by as a provincial body as well. And I'm sure at the national level, it's like even more constricted, right? Because it's from on the podium and Sport Canada and everything else, and they have certain mandates that they have to hit. But yeah, so no, I definitely really appreciate that. And I mean, like you have now announced a new CEO for Triathlon Canada with Joe Morissette after an extensive search. And I'm imagining that you're quite excited that the search process is over at this point. And that Tricat has that leadership going forward.
Excited for sure. Also quite relieved that we've got, a permanent solution, if you like, or permanent person in the role. Thankful and grateful to Badminton Canada for allowing us to recruit Joe Morissette into the Triathlon Canada community. Mm-hmm. First impressions, Joe is, truly professional. He's got a great track record behind him. Mm-hmm. And whilst he's not necessarily from the sport, he does come with a really strong and deep understanding of the sport system. Yeah. You know, some of the key players, within Sport Canada, within on the podium, across the provinces in other areas. We're very excited. He's landed, well, whilst he hasn't quite started at the time of recording, he's certainly showing us that he's willing to go the extra mile before he's even onboarded into the organization by forging, relationships with the provincial presidents and the executive directors and members of staff. So, we're very excited by Joe's selection. For sure, like I said earlier, a little bit relieved that, we've got somebody in the seat that can, really take the organization on to the next level. Mm-hmm. And allows the board then to, and myself to step away a little bit and to focus on the governance and the strategy stuff and, making sure that we, achieve our mission.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thank you, Peter, for joining us. And just as an FYI to our audience, why Peter said, that volunteer extraordinaire throughout this entire time that he's become president, working with the interim CEO, hiring a new CEO, he also found the time to volunteer for the graveyard shift at our casino in the middle of winter in Calgary. So, Peter, thank you so much for joining us today on our Tri Talks. And I'm looking forward to seeing you again in person this summer.
Yeah, likewise, and Sebastian, thanks ever so much for the opportunity. And, it was great to spend time with you in the casino.
Yeah.
volunteering. So, yeah, maybe we can do it again sometime.
Absolutely.